This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Transformation Platform. Richard Angus standing in for Adrian Groenewald. Joining me in studio is Robin Wheeler. If you've just joined us, we've just spent half an hour talking to Robin about his business. We're going to be talking a little about the whole principle of transformation and what that means in the context of Robin's world. Robin has got some great insights. He's a well-established author, presenter. Joining me in studio as well is dear friend Ellis Nyandu.
As always, thanks, Richard.
As always, thanks, Ellis. So, Robin, I mean, for the whole world, I mean, I think we always have a context of these are the rules that we live by. And I mean, if I think of our earlier conversation, I mean, we say, you know, go to school, get an education, get out there, you know, get a B dot,
yeah.
As I was saying earlier, you know, and then go and do something. And then, you know, and I think as parents, perhaps we go, this is the way the world works. Yes. And I kind of ask myself the question, and I mean, Ellis, your 9-year-old, you're saying, is having these questions and raising these issues. And I think, you know, my daughter hasn't challenged me yet, but maybe the boys ask the questions earlier than the girls do. But I guess at the end of the day, I'm going, what's gone wrong in, let's call it, the transformational space of education, and how does education need to transform, and how does our thinking about what defines, let's call it, the educational space actually need to be? Because what I'm seeing and hearing from you and the whole principle that you're talking about of being yourself for a living, I'm hearing a message that says be careful about putting this little box up there, putting, and I mean, we're past it, so we don't have to worry about this, but putting our children into this box and saying, that's how you make yourself hang together. So joining us in studio as well is Lee Grunholt. Welcome, Lee. Thank you. The wise old man is back with us. Thanks for joining us. I mean, so how does this translate? I mean, you experience and see this all the time with kids. What are you seeing out there? How are people well, first of all, I'm pretty sure there's a few parents that when you start talking, start immediately panicking and looking for the emergency eject button, you know, like, let me out of here. You're rocking my world and asking too many uncomfortable questions. I mean, I'm pretty sure that happens in the room.
Well, that's what I've learned over 25 years, is how to ask the uncomfortable questions in a way that don't make
people head for the exit. Where is the nearest exit? It may be behind you.
Yeah, there's a whole art to that. But look, we're in a transformational time. You know, you could take a step back and say that the whole of existence is a transformational thing. But if we came a little bit closer to the rubber hitting the road, as you refer to it, Richard, it's a transformational time. And just take education, for example. You know, you used to trust the education system. You know, and I had the same experience as your son. And then I would go get home from school that I felt like I endured. Sure, I loved my friends and I learned a lot and there was value in it. But I learned more from listening to music in my room in the afternoons and the evenings, because there were people slightly older than me that were living a creative life, and they were, that rebellion was allowed in that, it was encouraged in that environment, you know. And rebellion is synonymous to me with intelligence. Intelligent people are rebels because they know better. The system is about keeping you in check. And an entrepreneur or an artist is somebody who has a higher knowing, and that doesn't take much, but they have a higher knowing, and they've got the courage to follow that. And so they become transformational people. They become change agents. So to take education has been about producing productive people. It's come out of the industrial age. It turns people into, by the time you've got a degree, you, number one, pretty certainly don't think for yourself anymore. Number two, you think you're super intelligent. So even if someone said to you, you're not thinking for yourself, you would have 15 different theories to prove that you actually are when you're not. So you've really, you kind of lost it by then. and you've got a huge home, at least a student loan to pay back. So you've got to go and start making money. Plus, you've still got your articles. Plus, then you're only a manager. So you're 10 years away from paying back the loan. So you're in, you know. So somebody who's got the intelligence to change the education system. I mean, there's an entrepreneurial challenge. That's what I do. I teach people my way. Mm. And it's educational, but it's also free, you know, and I'm creating the way forward, which is what everyone needs to do.
You know, Robin, my other son, 12-year-old, he had a project to do. He was given this TED Talk, which he had to analyze.
Okay. I thought you were going to tell us about his project that became your project.
I just observed what was going on. Okay. But the essence of it all is that this TED Talk was given by a 12-year-old who understands exactly what you're talking about. He's saying his education is outdoors.
Yes.
His education is what makes him happy. His education is his creativity.
Yes.
If you can go and check it out, his name is Laplante.
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 It's an outdoor. Okay, I see the connection. Okay. Sorry.
But listening to that talk made me also realize that indeed a change has to happen, but that it takes a certain level of consciousness, Robin.
Yes.
The question is, how do you make that come to the fore? Because we know the system is very rigid and it knows how to get its way.
Well, it's like saying, how did that tree grow? Well, it's in the tree. It's in the seed. What did you do? You just dug a big enough hole, put the right soil in there, and left the tree to do what it does naturally. Mm-hmm. So there's a shift from the old model where children were seen and not heard. They came into the world and they were a bit of a problem, actually. They were, you know, the original sin. They were conceived in sin and they were born with original sin. So we'd better discipline them
Okay.
Okay, I'm being bit extreme.
Being honest.
That was the culture we came from.
Is that the Victorian era?
Well, that's still alive and well, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so and then the new way is that we've got an inherent intelligence in us and we just need to step out of the way of that. Sure, you make sure that your child doesn't get hurt along the way. That's the parental role. But you don't limit that child or control that child because that child is teaching you, if not more, but certainly as much as you teaching it. So you're saying to your child, hey, welcome to this world. There are a few things I can help you with. But your child is reminding you how to be present, how to be creative, how to be courageous. Mm. And those are the qualities of an entrepreneur. So children, to me, are inherently entrepreneurial. Mm. They're inherently artistic. You just need to make sure that you don't throttle and thwart that because you've got some agenda, some fear, or some unlived dream. And that's why I come back to saying, do for yourself what you would love to give your child because that will set your child free and then they can move on from there. Mm. It's all in us already. And children who haven't been too limited are very much aware of it and they've got a certain confidence about bringing it to the world. And we adults are actually on a journey back to try and be that child.
Mm. In fact, if you look at it, the whole world is yearning for these kinds of people to emerge. I mean, the world isn't looking for a whole lot of us to have jobs.
Exactly.
It's looking for a lot of us to have positive impact.
Yes.
So, I mean, think of some of the iconic people that we look to, you know, the likes of a Richard Branson. I mean, reality, he doesn't fit that, let's call it that traditional mold. I mean, I can imagine if I was to say, so does Richard Branson's say, kids should go to school and fit into I can imagine he would be one of the people that would turn around and say, well, hold on a second. Yeah, let's just think this through. Let's perhaps have a conversation over here with Robin because this seems to be making some sense. You know, I can see an Elon Musk having a conversation with you and saying,
Well, he's actually done that. He's taking his kids out of the school system. You know, he's trying to decondition them.
Yeah.
You're talking Musk.
But
the essence of the problem with education too is the massification of education.
Yeah.
Okay, you go in there, you're going to do this degree, but the degree isn't geared for you as the being. It's, you know, a one size fits all.
Well, what
really? Is that how you were created?
Well, what worries me even more is forget that it's not, it's it's one size fits all. It's one size fits all to create a capability for a job that is probably already gone.
Extinct, yeah.
Extinct. I mean, you know, when people tell me that my daughter is studying or is at school at the moment, she's in grade six, and that by the time she gets to the job market, the jobs that will exist don't even exist today. So they can't, the stuff that she's learning today is not relevant to those future roles because we don't know what they are yet. And I look at this and I go, okay, so maybe, you know, there's some, like, let's call it indelible things that you need to learn and all the rest. But, I mean, I always ask the question. So, yeah, history is important. But being able to remember, you know, who was where and which river were they on when something happened in 1800, does that really change who I am?
Exactly.
And my ability to contribute to life? And I'm going, not so sure. You know, I mean, knowing how the clouds work, well, yeah, okay, maybe, but... No, there's
but,
almost
but,
this.
But I think Robin may kind of argue with you there in terms of saying those jobs aren't known yet. Would you say the same thing that you said about music, that they are there?
Well,
you just have to bring them here.
Look, when I first started out, I very much was making that point to people that the job you're working towards won't be there when you get there.
Mm.
So, in a very practical sense, I think that's actually just become reality even more. But if I can respond in two ways to what we've just said, the first thing is that you need to, in response to that specifically, you need to create the job you want, because it won't be there when you get there, number one, but because it's not for you. The world is changing out there and you need to self-actualize. So rather dig deep into who you are, what talents you've got, what you're passionate about, what angers you, you know, what do you want to change in the world? What drives you? Mm-hmm. What are you prepared to get so upset about that you will eventually change it? You know, what's your purpose in life, which is about that inner knowing and aligning that with the world's needs? And then set out on the journey to realize that for a living. And again, that what how you make a living is changing all the time, you know. Even the idea of money as a currency can change. You might be exchanging different things rather than just trying pursuing money. Pursue the resources to do what you want to do that may or may not be money. Rethink everything, but create the job you want based on who you are and what the world needs. Be yourself for a living. That's my.
I just want to mention, Robin, at least a platform we've worked with leadership for years now, but we're always refining it. And ultimately, we believe that leadership is that part in each one of us that enables us to move a situation in a positive direction, yes. Value-based. But getting back to what you're saying, the more we discuss with people that strike you with incisive knowledge, the more they emphasize the inner part, inner yes. peace. Now, when you say we're actually on a journey to discover the child in us, we mustn't underestimate the power on that one, because is that child... not childishness, but a childlike attribute that makes you creative, yes. innovative, and then just seamless from that point of view. There's a lot of what you're saying just rings familiar with us in our years of research and interviews and
experience.
I just love that because and that's where the transformation applies. And now, for instance, our teaching, we teach people also that the subject is not, for instance, maths. A real teacher will tell you the life skills around us. Yes. How do you apply it? And that's the leadership part. In other words, exactly. I'm a doctor, I don't become a doctor until I apply the knowledge. The ability to apply it in a positive direction, that's the leadership part. So it's our first profession, in that sense. So in this sense, if we can understand what you're saying too, I believe everybody, and I'm learning every day, and I'm 75, I enjoy that because I believe it's an eternal journey as well. To learn how to get back to the child, in a sense, to the innocent,
yes,
but also to the source of all light and truth.
Exactly. You
know? Beautiful.
And it's infinite. And the more you go into it, the more
it
fills your life.
Yeah.
And what actually happens is the true leader then puts the other people around them who they are developing as leaders, not as followers, but as leaders, in touch with that light. So that you just, by exemplifying it, by embodying it, you are opening that door for other people to be it themselves.
But, Roman, what's happening now, for instance? You speak of that comparison. because I have a passion for what you're saying, etc., immediately I have affinity with you.
Yes.
And that's my affinity with Richard and Ellis. They're completely different backgrounds, but we have a strong affinity to get to the child,
the
in
core.
All of us, the strength in all of us. So, and so the more I'm convinced of that, the more I'll share it, because you'll sense my body language, my conviction, and then you start listening and responding. Yes. I'm not telling you.
Yes.
I'm not forcing you. One of the previous experts of education says overseas meaning nowadays is that you can't teach anybody anything.
Mm.
And the idea is that ultimately they must learn to change their own behavior. Another way of saying that we must get to that part in them. But if you don't feel that part in you, you can't really communicate it.
And that's your son's a leader, Ellis. Allow him to become that increasingly and allow yourself to be that.
It's trusting in that better part of your son. Mm. It's beautiful, yeah.
In fact, you know, because I'm also, I've just started my entrepreneurial journey, but both my sons are kind of looking up to me, and I'm also trying to exert myself as much as possible so that they can see that, you know, after 42 years, I've now seen the other side, to sort of say, let me recreate myself in a way that then creates what you talk about, being, you know, entrepreneurial along the way, you know, of your life.
And just being yourself.
Being yourself.
Being, having that openness to who we really are and that learning.
Yeah. You'd have to recreate yourself. You're actually finding yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's how life is. You know, there's a core evolution that we have to go through within ourselves, that we evolve, as well as the environment evolves, forcing us to evolve. So you have to go lockstep with the environment in which you find yourself to evolve.
If I can jump in there, back to the transformation thing, Louis, and the whole theme of this half hour. The way I experience and describe it is that the change is about altering what you already know. Mm. So it's more or less of what you already know. So you have your financials at the end of the year and you want a 20% growth. So that's change.
Mm.
Transformation is from the unknown. You have to suspend what you know and open yourself to something from the beyond. I mean, where did you come from? We still don't know that. Okay, so we're inherently mysterious by our very being. The whole universe is mysterious. And the more wise you become, the more of an elder you become, the more you embrace that mystery. You don't have answers. The knowing is not knowledge-based. It's a state of being. And if you're in tune with that, transformation is allowing something new to come into being, whereas change is actually just altering what's already here. So a transformation is a magical thing. It's a shamanic thing. It's a mystical thing. It's an artistic thing. It's a true leader is a person who's able to bring that out of people. And that's what, to me, that's where humanity is shifting to, like a new humanity, where that evolution is quantum. It's not progressive, but there's an actual awakening, a shift.
I was going to say almost a step change as opposed to a incremental change.
Yes, it's not incremental. There isn't time for incremental. It's too fast.
Well yeah, I was going to say, I think... Yeah,
so we're talking exponential change.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think, you know, you just look at things like, you know, Uber, biggest car and transport network in the world with not a single vehicle.
There we go.
Airbnb, biggest hotel group in the world without owning a single bed or a hotel. I mean,
do they lease any buildings?
No, they do nothing. I mean, they're literally a platform.
It's abstract,
That's Ellis's pet subject. These big buildings, are there any necessary?
Well, I'm looking for
the big building. But I think, you know, that's the reality, is that if you had said to somebody even 5 years ago, the biggest hotel group in the world, or the biggest accommodation provider in the world, is going to be a platform that doesn't own any property, they would look at you and they would go, yeah, we need to talk about how you understand the system and life.
Talk you out of it.
I mean, I must tell you, I often think to myself, I wonder what the people thought, because we all know how business ideas evolve, and, you know, a pitch is done at some dragon's den somewhere, kind of, you know, that kind of thinking. I often wonder who the first 20 people that listened to the guys who pitched the idea of Airbnb or Uber, or the guys who talked about it to the, you know, so they came up with the idea, and the first, let's call it the first 10 people they shared the idea with, I would be really interested to know what went through those people's minds, you know, ranging from the, are you insane? Mm. You know, what have you been drinking? What have you been smoking? You know, like, and you know, you contrast that and you say, and look at the success, and like everything in life, there's always successes, and you know the successes, you don't know the failures. So, yeah, fair is fair. Yeah. But fundamentally, they've rewritten the rule book. Mm. They have transformed
exactly
the world as we know it.
But Richard, your point, you know, years ago I started working with Adrian. Mm. I had an intuitive feeling I want to work with him. He's doing some development and consultation, etc. And he wanted to go through it. But I spent years in trying to work out some of the thoughts that we're driving this platform. Mm-hmm. But presenting to Arden, he just looked at me blankly. And he in fact said, Dad, that's fine, but not for me. As time went by, he's not only embraced them, he's actually improving on them, etc. Mm. So we must expect that. Can I mention a lovely example of transformation thinking? Our last session, half an hour, is on the youth leadership platform. Mm. I've been involving some the last month, some dynamic youth leaders from all kinds. They come in here and they sometimes strongly connected to some political party, and they start off with perhaps voicing a political slogan, but then when you start talking to them, they change. Mm. Then they say things like this, that the older people mustn't settle their prejudice of the past on us. We don't know about these things. Now, what I get from this is quite startling. They don't see racism in the same way. They don't see these prejudices that's driving the older generation who are very proud of the fact that they've shaken off racism. They haven't. But these young people are thinking fresh. Mm. And I just love that. That gives me hope for the future. They say, don't settle us with your prejudices of the past. I think they acknowledge mostly you must understand history. Understand, learn lessons from it, but don't put your burdens on me. What they're really saying is, don't limit my thinking so I can't be creative and innovative and serve humanity as I wish to do.
But that happens first within the individual. So I, as an individual, must first drop my own prejudice and my own history, and then allow myself to be fresh. And then I will be able to extend that to my community, yes, and it will become a social thing. And that to me is, again, transformational. You can't change society from the outside. Mm-hmm. Any movement, whether it be political or a movement of revolution, is no true revolution. The only true revolution is within. It's in the individual. And from that, if I'm still violent within me, I'm going to be violent out there. I'm going to approve of violence out there subtly. I won't realize I'm doing it. It's a state of unconsciousness. But if you first make that change within you, it will then extend into your environment, or it will no longer be upheld around you. And that will then, we will have a new world, which is actually what's happening. But what I've learned, another thing I've learned over the 20 years mm-hmm. That I've been doing this, is I kind of had this vision when I set out. Like you say, an intuition. Mm. Sometimes it's a subtle thing. Sometimes, for me, it was this like burning white lights feeling where, I know where I need to go now. I just didn't realize how damn hard it was going to be. And so what I've learned over 20 years is that the crest of light happens on a wave of darkness. And we need the challenges. We need the ending, the death of the old, and the letting go of things that we were so attached to. To realize there's more, you know. So,
but isn't that how the universe works?
It is.
The stars would come, the stars would fade, and a new star is born.
The thing is, listen.
And yet we think of ourselves as being, you know, incongruent with that.
That's right. That the point is that you can't change without letting go.
Yes.
Otherwise, you have to let go. Remember, Prof. Eloff, Prof. Theo was saying, he asked the corporate, what mistakes have you made the last week? And they're all amazed. They didn't want to give it. He says, if you don't recognize your mistakes, then you can't grow. So, of course, a different kind of mistakes. But the idea is, every time I improve my thinking, I've got to let go of something.
Yeah.
And this is it's a universal.
Suspend what you know, what you already know.
Can I just also throw in what I was going to say, Ellis? You talked about Greek mythology and Greek ancient society. Yeah. When you're creating your ideal job, rather than getting a degree to fit into an existing one that won't even be there, when you're creating this perfect lifestyle and perfect career and business of your own, certain archetypes kick in, which, say, for me, I'm a teacher. Now, we've always had teachers, and as long as you've got human beings, you're going to have teachers. It's just the quality of the teacher. So I'm being myself for a living. One way I do that is through teaching. I'm a writer. That's also an archetypal thing. So there's certain, I've found, archetypes that will always be there. If you go back to mythology, or if you go back to, say, Jungian work, or all those, it's all the knowledge, all the wisdom is in us already, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. It's just about becoming the more conscious being first, and then allowing that to take form from there. The form has its own way of falling into place. But that, again, goes back to the last segment. You've got to be comfortable with uncertainty, because transformation and uncertainty are the same thing. They go hand in hand. And if you can work in that magical space, you become a true leader.
You know what you're saying, Robin, reminds me of the book that I think kind of transformed my thinking to think more differently about some of the issues we've discussed. A book by Eckhart Tolle.
Yes.
You know, A New Earth.
He's very good.
Which is exactly what you're talking about, that this new earth has to emerge.
It is.
And it starts from within, from us suppressing the ego.
Exactly.
You know, but what I wanted to ask you, what has helped you to have this awareness, this new consciousness, if one may call it that? You obviously don't have a degree in metaphysics.
No.
Or neural psychology or something
like
that.
Well, psychology I did study, but if I had to answer that, I would say, and if I'm, and in sharing this, I'm automatically addressing your kids, for example. Mm-hmm. Firstly, it was always in me. Okay. I remember walking around my grandparents' home, and like at 7 years old, and having this feeling about me that I just knew there was a certain way that I could be in the world. And then I would look at them, and as much as I loved my grandmother, mm-hmm. and her wisdom and her gentleness, and I would look at her and say, "But why are you so unhappy? Why are you worried about money, you know, for goodness sake?" And then I went through what your son is probably destined to go through, which is you know, the pain of losing that. But somewhere along the way, I never let go of it. Mm-hmm. If I got into trouble at school, I would stand up for myself no matter what. I would take on that whole school. I would take on the whole world. Mm-hmm. So the second thing I did, apart from having it within me, is I always stood up for what I knew, no matter what it cost me. And then that involved doing a hell of a lot of work on myself, because if I knew what I meant and I've stood up for it and that didn't make any difference, then the only place I could really make any difference was in me. Mm-hmm. So I've worked very hard on myself, not in a acquiring skills kind of build myself into something kind of way, mm-hmm. but to get out of the way.
Are you a material person, Robin?
I wouldn't say material. I love material things. I enjoy everything that I do. You know, the shower in the morning to me is a mystical experience. My food, the way I eat, sitting in the sunshine, having a nice car, you know, having living in a beautiful home are all highly pleasurable to me, but they're not primary to me.
Okay.
You know, so I'm
But what we are talking about here, we're not saying leave everything and go up in the mountain.
Look, you might do that at one point,
okay.
as a part of your journey. But to me, being yourself for a living means both.
Okay.
You must be true to yourself and in the simplest and purest way, and you must enjoy this world to the full. Mm. But you never actually own anything in this world. Mm-hmm. You just...
You're a steward.
You're a custodian of it for the future generations.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and that you can only be if you're conscious. Otherwise, you're going to have attachments to it, you know, and destroy it and destroy yourself. And, you know, humanity, you talk about the wave and the crest, humanity's on the brink of destroying itself. So if we survive, we will either be a transformed, enlightened, new humanity. It's not going to be a sort of a little bit of the old. It'll be a completely new thing.
Where do people get your books? Let's do a bit of marketing here.
Let's do some marketing for Robin, yeah.
Okay.
There's no free lunches.
Thanks. Yeah, just the bookstores. If they don't have them, they'll order them from me. And me directly if you want to.
Go to your website?
Yeah.
How do people go over you?
Well, if you just Google my name, you'll probably find it sooner on the first page or so.
Oh, wow. You got your SEO done properly.
More or less.
Great. Robin, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
It's been great chatting to you.
Likewise.
Been great thinking and talking a little bit more about...
I've never been enlightened as I have over the last hour.
Look, Robin, that's quite an achievement for somebody like Ellis.
Thank you.
Next up, our youth transformation platform. Thank you, Robin. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Richard.
This is CliffCentral.com.